All right. Well, thank you all for joining me here this lovely, lovely Thursday morning. My name is Ken Lasko. I am here to talk to you about Link 2013 Enterprise Voice Best Practices. And this thing is not working. There we go. Why are we here today? Well, we're here to talk about the whys behind the hows of Enterprise Voice. I'm not here to show you, okay, this is how you create a dial plan, this is how you do a route and all that sort of stuff. I'm assuming that you have at least a basic understanding of all this sort of stuff. What we're here to do is learn how the best way to structure your Enterprise Voice deployment and talk about, okay, how to do the dial plans or what you should do with your dial plans and why, voice policies, routes, and et cetera. So again, I'm not here to show you, okay, this is exactly the process of type going through creating a route, because you guys already know how to do that probably. I'm going to be talking about what you should do or why you should do things a certain way. So I'm going to basically assume that you've already got a fairly good understanding of the core concepts. So we're not going to be spending a lot of time on that sort of stuff. And at the end of it, we're going to go through a demo of the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer. How many people here are familiar with the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer? Okay, good. The rest of you aren't? Well, you will be by the end of this. So who am I? I am not David Hasselhoff. So everybody who came to this session expecting David Hasselhoff, which I expect is probably half of this entire room, you could probably get up and leave now because, yeah, the Hoff is not going to be making an appearance. But my name is Ken Lasko. I selected that picture because one day back in 2008 probably when Chuck Norris facts were all the rage, I was looking for a picture of Chuck Norris and somehow stumbled upon that picture instead and said, yeah, that's going to be my avatar from here on in. So ever since then, that's how I've been known, and I've kind of built a brand around that. So far, the Hoff hasn't noticed me, and so I haven't gotten in any trouble yet. So I'm from the lovely, lovely city of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which is also home to the infamous Mayor Rob Ford. Love that guy. I mean, I would never vote for him, but man, he provides so much entertainment. It's unbelievable. He's just a media's dream. It's fantastic. I work for a company called Buchanan Technologies. They're out of Mississauga, Ontario, for anybody who knows the area. I've been there since the year 2000, so I've been there 14 years, which is crazy, considering before that job, the longest I ever stayed anywhere was like 2 years. So my background, like a lot of people in Link, came from Exchange and OC, or Exchange originally, and then got into OCS, and then, of course, it built into Link. I've been an MVP now, proud MVP for 3 years running, very happy about that. That's based around the contributions from my blog and also the Link Dialing Rule Optimizer. So you can see my optimizer at linkoptimizer.com or uckenblogspot.com. And you can reach me, also see me on Twitter. You might have seen some of my silly, stupid attempts to be funny at Ken Lasko, and also using the hashtag LinkComp14. So I'm going to scare you right off the bat here. First thing, I'm going to throw E164 terminology at you. So, because this is something that I'm going to be harping throughout this entire session, is E164. So if you're going to hear me talk about what E164 is, it probably helps to know what E164 is. So E164 is the internationally recognized telephone number format for the entire world. Every number in the world corresponds to this format. So for North America, so it's going to be the country code, followed by the area code, if your country happens to have an area code, and then with a local number, and usually with a plus in front of it. So with North America, the country code is 1. Some people might not actually know that the country code is actually 1. You just think that that's what you dial for long distance, right? Whereas in other countries, you dial long distance by dialing 00 or something like that. So in London, that's 44. The area code is 207, followed by 678 local number. So E164 is what you're going to be seeing me talk a lot about this. So it's good to know what it actually means. Something that you don't hear a lot is RFC 3966. And what this is this defines the format for a telephone number in SIP. And SIP is Session Initiation Protocol. It's kind of the backbone of everything we do in Link. So all that is, it just takes the SIP or the E164 number and encapsulates it into a tel URI. So the tel colon is the tel URI part of it, followed by the global number, which is an E164 format, and then possibly an extension at the end of it. So just understand those two concepts. So technically, when we're talking about putting in phone numbers in Link, we're saying, well, we should be formatting it to RFC 3966, whereas your phone number is in Active Directory, will be formatted to E164. But you know what? We're just going to call everything E164 because it's a lot simpler. I'm not that anal. So, and another thing that we want to make sure that you're at least a little bit familiar with is regular expressions. So regular expressions is just one ridiculously complex, convoluted, and very powerful language for doing pattern matching. So Link uses this for routing, for normalization, all that sort of stuff. You can do an amazing number of things to do, to a lot of tricks you can do to do normalization and routing and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go through all of these, but these are the sort of things you're going to see the most often in a Link dialing rule. So if you go through the wizard, you might not see some of these things, but you always have the ability to go in manually and then start getting kind of funky. So there's a great site when I was looking for resources on regular expressions. There is actually a great one that's very Link specific at that blog post there. I don't know who that Hani Taha guy is, but he did a great post, and I recommend anybody who's interested in learning regular expressions to go take a look. And then when you're playing around with it, with regex, trying to figure out different things, like I'm always trying to do different regex and trying to figure out how to do things a little more efficiently, a little better, or a little more powerful, there's a great website that I use called regextexter.com, and you can use it to test your regex. Imagine that. So before you get started in Link, the first thing you need to be looking at is your Active Directory phone numbers. Phone numbers in Active Directory are the things that are actually displayed in the Link client. The tell URI, like the phone number that you actually assign in Link for Enterprise Voice, is actually not displayed to anybody by default in the Link client. So if you just define a tell URI and don't actually do anything in Active Directory for a phone number, you're not going to see any phone numbers when you pick that guy's name from a list. So what Link does, it's going to display any office, mobile, home, or any other phone number that's an Active Directory that it can recognize. This is the key here, something that Link will recognize. So just two or three numbers, it may not recognize. You may have to normalize these sort of things into something that Link will be able to understand. So Link will display phone numbers that it can recognize for Link objects, for people who aren't actually enabled for Link, or even non-user objects, like even contact objects or something like that. So if you're already always calling like a specific number for a customer or something like that, you could actually just create a contact object in Active Directory, and then when someone types that name in, it will populate, show up in Link. So it can be very, very powerful. So 80 phone numbers. So again, it's very important to be consistent in formatting your Active Directory phone numbers. I encourage people to ensure that all your phone numbers are formatted in E164 format. So again, make sure that everything follows that standard of country code, area code, local number. So format numbers as they exist, or as you would see them in a phone book, rather than how you commonly dial them. Like one common thing is like especially in the UK, is a lot of people dial zero. When they put a number on a web page, they might put 440, which is the local or the national dialing code, followed by the number. Which works great when you're dialing it from within the UK, but if you're outside the UK, you dial that number and you're going to get a big fat, meh, meh, sorry, can't reach this number. Because nobody outside of England understands that zero is actually not something that you're supposed to dial when you're coming in from the outside. So again, I like to want to make sure that you format everything to the way that things actually are and think, okay, well, if someone might be seeing this number who's not from the UK, let's make sure that it's something that can be dialed globally, like around the world. So just make a display properly. So you don't need to just do a string of numbers like you see in an E164 number with no spaces or anything like that. Format it the way that you normally see in your country. So in like North America, we always like to put brackets around phone numbers with dashes and spaces and stuff like that. That's totally fine. Link will parse that stuff out. You don't need to consider these things in your normalization rules. Those things are automatically stripped out. So you don't have to worry about, okay, am I going to get the person? What do I do if someone types in a bracket? That's okay. Link will exclude that sort of stuff. So it's not necessary to include the plus. So I got some examples here. So examples of good examples on the left include something like that. All those ones there, periods, dots, whatever. Bad examples on the right include for a North American number, just having the area code without a 1 in front of it. An extension, just 234. That's also very, very bad. Bad, bad, naughty. And then also, again, like I used before, the 44020, putting that 0 in there, which is actually not dialable from outside of the UK. So again, why should I care about E164? Really? It's like, okay, you're thinking to yourself, okay, wait a minute. I'm out of one country. I actually got one location. So why do I need to worry about this sort of stuff? Well, AD is global. So if you do have in more than one location, you happen to be in more than one country, it's very important that people are able to click on that from another country and be able to expect to dial it properly. So local formatting for one country is not going to work in another one, which should go without saying now, right? And also, another more important thing is that you might, again, you might be saying, well, again, I just got one location. What do I care? But again, if you're federating with other companies, you can present your, you can share your phone numbers with those other companies. And again, if you're formatting things incorrectly, like if you're just presenting an extension, how is someone going to click on that phone number or that extension from outside of your company and be able to reach you? So again, it's very important for both those situations to just say right from the get-go, do E164. You do that, it's going to make your life a lot simpler. Because I've seen too many cases, especially on the TechNet forums, and people who contact me, like they're starting off down the wrong path right away. They start off, they said, okay, well, we're trying to do this, and then we're running into this little issue down the road. And I said, well, you know what, if you just start it off, just go back to the beginning and do it right, and then you won't be having these issues. And the thing is, people just start, you know, they just keep digging, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the thing is, like, I could probably tell you this till the dogs come home, but until you actually experience it yourself, you might not believe me, right? So again, let's give you an example here. So here's my famous David Hasselhoff. People have been actually forwarding me David Hasselhoff videos for the past couple of days, and some of them are absolutely fantastic. It's great. I love this guy. So he's on his trusty phone. And again, look what he does. What happens when he's presented a phone number from another company for a guy in England, and they put the zero in front of there. So he's dialing that number, and he's going to be very upset. And he's going to turn into somebody else, apparently. Okay, so AD, phone number normalization. So you're thinking, okay, great. Yes, I do. I understand I got a mess in my Active Directory, and I don't want to fix it, or I'm not allowed to fix it. It's too big of a job. Well, you know what? You don't actually have to go in and start fixing every single phone number if you don't want to. You can use a file that's called the company phone number normalization rules.txt. Very, very nice name that flows off the tongue and very easy to remember. And you find that, well, you might not actually find it. It's just a text file you would create in the web services directory that's going to be on your share for your front-end pool. And so what Link does is that actually parses that. So it's going to have some regular expressions in there, and it's going to parse that and say, okay, whenever it finds a phone number in Active Directory that matches that regular expression, you can make it format to E164, and then that's what's get written into the address book. So that when a client pulls it up, or a Link client pulls it up and might see 234, but then when it clicks it, Link will actually dial the full E164 number that you put into the file there. So again, you use regex patterns to ensure that all your phone numbers are readable. Link is very good at this. Once it redoes the address book, it'll tell you there are still these many numbers that are unreadable. Like there's another text file that shows here's all the numbers that I'm still not able to read. So you're able to play around with your regex or add new ones as the different situations that you have to make things all work. So there's a couple examples. Like every company that I ever go to, the first thing I generally do, even before I even look at their Active Directory, is just put in a couple of generic regex expressions into that file and then take it from there. All right, so I did say I wasn't going to talk about Link core concepts of enterprise voice. I figured that you guys hopefully understand some of these things. Everybody have like a basic understanding of what these different things are? There's some people in here that don't. A lot of people who don't have like understand exactly what these things mean. Well, I'll give you a quick, really super fast rundown on all this. So a dial plan, this is the thing that takes your user's numbers and formats them for dialing. So this is the place where anybody who dials a phone number, whatever format they like to dial it in, this is where Link takes it and is supposed to put it into what format? Yeah, exactly, E164 format. All the time. All right, so the voice policy, this is the place where your calling rights are defined. So voice policies are assigned to users, they're assigned to sites, or they're assigned globally. So this is where your call features, like where you're, if you're able to do call forwarding or use different features, and also am I able to make local calls, long distance calls, or international calls. All this is done through here. Voice routes, should be obvious. This defines, okay, the specific path the call is going to take to the PSTN. So there's a regex expression within there, and then if a call's coming through, again, formatted as E164, matches that specific expression, then it's going to route out the gateways that you've defined. And the PSTN usages are the links between voice policies and voice routes. They're just objects that is just purely like just the glue holding it all together. So I'll show you what those are a little bit later. And then trunk translation rules, these are things that a lot of people, I don't know why, they seem to forget that these are there. And they get themselves into, again, bad situations that I'll talk about a little bit later. So decisions, decisions, decisions. What do I do with all this? Because Link gives you a big, wide-open playing field. There's many different ways you can do things. So it's awesome for some people because it's like, oh, why? Okay. All right, I'm going to start thinking about this. But then other people look at the blank slate and go, okay. And that's the way I was. I was looking at this going, I have no idea what to do with all this. Like, Microsoft's got all the documentation in the world about, okay, this is how you're supposed to do it, but I didn't know why, right? So I follow through the labs that they would give you and the Ignite sessions and things like that, and then trying to figure out, okay, well, why are we doing things like this? Why am I putting this route into this PSTN usage and formatting things this way? And is there a better way to do it? So you got to think about what kind of deployment you're going to do before you start getting into the nitty-gritty details. So when I put that up there, when I think about it now, it's actually kind of silly. So do you want it simple or complex? Do you want to make it easy or do you want to make it hard for yourself? So obviously everybody's going to say, I want to make it easy. But you know, there's going to be reasons why you're going to want to make things a little bit more difficult for yourself at the beginning that actually makes your life a lot simpler in the long term. So again, plan thoroughly. Understand what you're about to get into before you get going. Because changing things like naming conventions and stuff like that is harder to do once deployed. Like, it's not like you said, okay, well, all right, I went through this. Okay, I understand the reasoning because I went to Ken's session, but I didn't listen to him right off the bat. It's hard to go back after the fact and change names because most of these are baked once you've created them. And to redo them, you have to either delete them or create a new one, and things can break. So it's best to just do it right the first time. Anybody know Mike Holmes? Holmes Inspection? Yeah. Do it right the first time. Yeah. Okay, so naming conventions. So again, you're given a wide open field in Link. There's no rhyme, there's nothing to say that you can't create rules any format that you want. But I like to say, okay, stick to a convention. Use one standard naming convention for everything. For your voice policies, normalization rules, everything. I see too many places that use all these long-winded names that don't really match up to anything, and it becomes very, very hard. Like a lot of times I spend like a day or two just going through the different routes and stuff like that, and the dial plans, just trying to make head or tails of what they've done. So you make that job a little bit easier by just starting with a standard naming convention. Use that same convention for everything, for your voice policies, for your normalization rules, for your PSTN usages, everything. So it makes things a lot easier because you can start doing scripting. So if you're not a PowerShell scripter, well, by the end of this, you'll probably think maybe you should try it just a little bit. So if everything follows a standard naming convention, it makes it a lot easier to script. And also makes it easier to search. Like if you say, okay, I need to do modifications to all my local voice policies. Okay, well, you type in local, and everything's going to pop up, be a lot simpler. And so consider breaking things down by country. Like if you're a multinational corporation, consider breaking things down by country, state, and call class. So again, it's easier to sort these out and be able to see where things are supposed to be. And so avoid spaces and overly long names because, again, if you're doing this stuff in PowerShell, this is all stuff you're going to have to type, right? And if you're like me, and if you use spaces at all, you always, half the time, you forget, oh, I better put quotes around that because then the command didn't work. So I always say just avoid spaces entirely. Keep the names relatively short so that it's easier to understand and easier to work with. All right, so the overall complexity is going to really depend on your goals. I am all about keep it simple. Like, I don't want to do needless complexity just because, hey, it's going to impress the heck out of somebody. Like, you know, I want to keep it simple because, well, it's less work, right? But the thing is, if you want to do certain things, like if you want to prevent some people from making calls, certain types of calls, you want to prevent your common area phones that are in the lobby from making long-distance calls. You want to say, okay, everybody in the company can make long-distance calls or national calls, but they can't call internationally except for the executives. Or then if you want to leverage least cost routings, as well, if you want to do any of those things, then you might want to consider a more complex type deployment. So with a complex deployment, is what happens is you create a set of voice policies, routes, PSN usages for each site in each call classification type, and which means for local calls, toll-free calls, national calls, international calls. And this is an example of what things would look like. So for two sites, so we have a London site and a Toronto site. These are the sort of, for routes, this is how many routes we could end up with to do that. So it's a fair number of routes, but the thing is, there's tools out there that allow you to actually automate most of these things, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, in a simple deployment, it's a lot. You're just creating one route, one voice policy, one route, and one PSTN usage for each site. And again, follow your naming convention and just use something like all call. So it's a lot simpler. You're thinking, yeah, that is a lot simpler. But again, back to that previous slide, if you want to do any of these more advanced features, you're going to want to go with the more complex thing. So pros of doing a simple deployment is that, well, again, it is pretty simple. There's less of everything, right? So if you've got a big multinational company with 100 link sites, having just being able to do an all calls type thing makes it a lot simpler. Like instead of having like literally hundreds of routes and dial plans and things like that, you might have, well, 40 or 50, right? A lot fewer of them. So it's a lot easier to troubleshoot and manage, but again, it's a little bit limited. Thing is, you can't do least cost routing. You can't limit call forwarding or limit calls to international numbers or things like that. It's by its nature, it's allowing pretty much everything. So complex deployments as well. It is very, very flexible, very granular. Like I've been using this at a fairly large site with 40 different sites scattered around North America and South America. And while it is a lot of routes, it gives us an incredible amount of control. We're able to say, okay, internal calls we want to route to this gateway, but then if it's going to be going out to the PSTN, let's route it out that gateway. But international calls, we want to use this one. So it gives you a lot of power. But the thing is, it is complicated, right? It's very easy to kind of get lost in the details here because there are many routes and PSTN usages, and it can be difficult to troubleshoot, especially when we get into some more of the advanced things that we'll talk about later. So dial plan best practices. Always, always, always. You're going to hear me harp about this all the time. I'm going to just hammer it into people. Always use E164 format. So just consider every single way that people like to dial their phone numbers, and then make sure that the end result is an E164 format number. So if people like to dial, like in North America, depending on where you are, you could dial just 7 digits or 10 digits for local numbers. But what we're going to do with every one of those cases is to make sure we normalize that to +1 area code and local number in every single case. And UK users, they'll just dial 7 digits. They'll put a 0 in front of it for local calls and or national numbers, and then 00 for international. So again, let them type that stuff. So if they're used to typing 00 for international, let them do it. But then make sure you strip that out and put it to plus whatever it is that it's going to. Okay? So best practices. I always like to say, if you can, just use one dial plan. Because again, what a dial plan is for normalizing phone numbers, so the fewer of these, the better. Like in our company, we do have just one global dial plan. So it makes it a lot simpler because whenever we have to make a change or add more extension ranges or something like that, it's just one place we got to do it. The thing is, if you have different countries or different dialing patterns, so again, one location might like to dial 7 digits, but the other one needs to dial 10 digits, stuff like that, you could use site-level dial plans. So you assign that to the link site, and then every user that is assigned to that site automatically gets that dial plan. And then you get down to the user-level dial plans, where none of those apply. And so you can use these if you have users in different countries with no link deployment. So let's say you've got a North American link deployment with SIPTrunk for all your calls. You have a branch site in London, England. They don't have any PSTN connectivity. There's 2 or 3 people, and they just use the North American deployment for all their calls. So rather than teaching them how to dial phone numbers in the North American format, we can just create a dial plan that matches up to the UK way of things, which again normalizes everything to E164, which is fine for us, and then routes out the North American gateway. And then they're already prepared so that at some point in the future you add a link deployment in London, then you can very easily just, you've got the dial plan there already, the user level dial plan, you just need to glom that onto the new site, and away you go. So again, resist the temptation to not normalize PBX-bound extensions. So if your link deployment is going to be talking to PBX, and a lot of them are, you don't see a lot of just greenfield link deployments. A lot of times people are talking to existing PBXs because, well, they're just getting started and, you know, they're not sure the whole link thing, and this is a great way to get going. So you get a few people who are on link, and you got a SIP connection or a gateway connection to your PBX, and you want people to be able to dial extensions. So if the guy's extension is 2345, you want to get it there to the other side is 2345. Your first thing you might think is, I'm going to create a normalization rule that's just going to normalize 2345, and it's going to send it on to the PBX. That makes sense, right? Why do I need to normalize that to E164, right? So you're thinking I'm already backtracking on my E164 mantra? No, I'm not. No, we always want to normalize E164. So we take it from 2, 3, 4, 5, spread it out to the E164 format, and then once it gets to the gateway or to the PBX, we strip it back down to 2, 3, 4, 5. Sounds like a lot of work. I'll tell you why that is, why we want to do it like that. So order your normalization rules from the most specific to the least. So it's no good if you have an all-encompassing normalization rule for national and you put it above your local one. Because you know what? No matter what number you dial, like if the national one's all-encompassing, that local one will never fire. So you want to put the ones that are most specific, the ones that deal with the most specific circumstances up top, and then put the more general ones, go local, national, then international, usually. And again, so most normalization rules are going to be the same countrywide, right? So you don't need to say, for your national dialing rule, you don't need to say UK, London, national, and have another one for UK, Perth, national, because they're exactly the same. Just use the same one. And again, don't worry about access, PBX access codes like 9 and things like that in your normalization rules. I see this a lot again because they say people think, I need to send a 9 to my PBX before I do this, so I'm going to make people dial the 9 in the link so that gets normalized into there, which again is not an E164 phone number anymore. Like if you start off with 91, 91 is, oh geez, I knew what this was. 91 is India, right? So if you put 91 in there, if someone else is trying to dial that number from outside, right, via Link Federation, they're going to be dialing India. And they're scratching their heads wondering why they're not talking to you. So don't do this in a normalization rule. Just ignore it entirely, but just use the external access prefix instead. So what's the external access prefix? So you might notice this in your dial plan. You might notice external access prefix. So this is where you put your if you have to dial a 9 or something like that, this is where you put that, right there. Don't do it anywhere in your normalization rules. And so you put it there, and you're actually not going to see any evidence of this anywhere else. If you're doing your testing of your dial plans and stuff like that inside of a link using the test case configuration there, you're not going to see that anywhere. It's not going to show up. But it's doing some magic in the back end. So every normalization rule that you have for internal extensions that you're normalizing E164, you click this little checkbox here, internal extension. And so what that does, in essence, like it's a little more complicated than this, but I don't want to spend too much time on it, is that when the prefix is dialed, so this is meant, okay, I get to specify that this is not meant for link client dialing. Like if you're using the soft client, you're used to just dialing, like punching in the phone number and then pressing dial, right? But then people with phones, they're used to picking up the phone, hearing a dial tone, and then they start dialing the phone number, right? That's the way things have worked for a million years, whenever phones were invented, right? Million years, 1,000 years, I don't know, whatever. So the funny thing is when you realize what's happening in Link is when you pick up a phone and you hear a dial tone, you're not hearing an actual dial tone. You're hearing just like an MP3 or a wave file of a dial tone, which is kind of cool when you really think about that. So what happens when you pick up a phone and you dial, when you're dialing off-hook dialing, Link is going to ignore normalization rules that are marked as internal extension. And so you go, okay, so what does this mean? All right, so let's do an example here. So let's pretend that I'm Joe User. This is an old-time style phone, and I want to dial a Vancouver local number that's 604-555-1234. We have normalization rule that already exists for normalizing 10 digits to proper E164 format with 1604, blah, blah, blah. And then we also have a norm rule for 4-digit extensions that just so happen to start with 6. It's not unusual, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And so at 4-digit extensions, they normalize to a DID of, say, 604-222-6000 or 6XXX, okay? So there we go. David Hasselhoff with his wonderful, trendy sweatband there picks up his phone, and he dials. He dials that number. He starts dialing. He's slow. He's sweaty because he's been working out, playing tennis or whatever he was doing there. So he starts typing in 6045. Now, without the external access prefix defined, what happens? Link sees that. He says, oh, I have a normalization rule for this. Fantastic. I'm going to normalize this to 1604-222-6045 and then makes the call. And then, of course, David Hasselhoff is now upset again. And his phone call didn't go to where he wanted to go. So with the external access prefix and the internal extension thing checked off there, what happens when you dial this in exactly the same circumstance? So he starts dialing 9 and then 604-555-1234. And then again, because it started off with a 9, Link sees this and says, okay, I'm going to think anything that's marked with internal extension, I'm not going to fire off. I'm just going to ignore those. And so it lets him complete that number and the call goes through as it's supposed to. And he is a happy, happy man. Again, that looks nothing like David Hasselhoff. Okay, so you understand that? Is that clear to everybody? So that's where you put your and the thing is, in the Link, so if you want to tell people to go ahead and in the Link client and dial 9, it's fine. It'll let you do that. So you can still use the Link client if people are used to dialing 9, 604, blah, 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 blah. Go right ahead. But you'll notice that Link will, again, normalize it. Without you having a specific normalization rule that includes a 9, it will actually go in there and strip it out, present the U164 number, and go away. So here's a couple of dial plan examples here. Here's one you would see for North America. It gets relatively specific. If we want to say, all right, we want to make sure that the person is dialing a valid North American telephone number. So every area code, so we got the 1 with a question mark after it, and the question mark means that, well, okay, maybe you don't have to dial a 1. You can dial a 1 or not. Doesn't matter. And they'll still fire this rule. Then 2 to 9, because every area code in North America starts between 2 or 9. And I know this because I've checked them all. And then 2 digits, then followed again by the local number, which again starts with 2 or to the 9. You'll never see a local number that starts with 1 or 0. And then followed by 6 digits. And then the big capital backslash D plus means any non-digit. And then the small D plus means any digits. So it's going to basically, if you're dialing from Outlook, you got a bunch of contacts in Outlook, and with extensions defined in them, Link will take that and it will actually essentially strip them out. Because again, dialing out to the PSTN and trying to dial extension to the PSTN doesn't work, right? You need to just send 11 digits or 10 digits or whatever. So the same sort of thing goes for servers and international. We got different rules for that. So I'm not going to get too much detail on that because the next one is even worse. So for UK, there's much more specific rules. I didn't come up with these ones myself. I've only been to the... Actually, you know what? I've never been to the UK. So I've never picked up a phone in the UK and dialed it. This was provided for me by some guy who loves regex and loves dialing rules in the UK, more than me apparently, and gave me all this wonderful stuff. So this will provide valid phone number dialing in the UK. Now, there is an argument that says, well, why do you need to do all that fancy stuff? Why don't you just say, okay, if someone dials a 0 followed by any string of digits, normalize it to plus 44 and those things. You can do that. I'm not saying it's wrong not to, but I am of the mind of saying that, okay, I want to give the user feedback whenever possible, if they're dialing a proper number. So if they're dialing a local number for London and they put in 4 followed by 7 digits, that's not apparently a valid number for London in the UK. So I don't want to normalize that. I want to be able to give the user a hint saying, this isn't going to be a call that's going to work for you. So rather than letting them normalize it and then dial and then it goes through the whole system and then they get the sorry, and, you know, of course, this is not a valid call. Sorry, please try again later. I'd rather give them that feedback right off the bat so that it's going to work fine. So again, it's personal preference. There isn't a right way or wrong way here, but you know, it's just easy. It's better, especially when you got a tool that does this for you. Yeah. No. What happens, yeah, so the question was what happens if we have extensions and you normalize 2345 to E164, is it always going to go out to the PBX and back? No, what happens in Link is that if it does a reverse number lookup, so if it normalizes it and it finds a match, it finds a Link user who's enabled with that phone number, it's going to send it to them first. It's only when they don't find a match that it's going to send it off to the next hop, which could be the actual PSTN or PBX or something like that. All right? No, it's not a user thing. This is done at that normalization rule level. You don't need to do anything at the user level to define whether it's an internal extension. It's dealt with at the system level, right? So voice policies, so these things determine your calling capabilities and the calling behaviors. So what happens when like what routes your calls take. Are you able to make this call? Do you have these the feature? Do you have the rights to do it? So are you able to use things like doing transferring calls? Like, I don't understand why you'd want to not allow people to transfer calls, but it's obviously there because somebody needed that thing. And then it's always easy to add more layers. So again, only create as many as you actually need. And so you assign your calling features by checkboxes, and sometimes you have to do it in PowerShell. And then you assign your calling rights via these PSTN usages. So we'll talk about those ones a little bit later. So PSTN usage ordering is critical here. So this is where you actually do all your least cost routing, your failover routing. Everything is done here. It's not done in other places as we might see later. So what I like to do for voice policy best practices is that, you know, just use site-level policies where possible. So site-level policies are assigned to link sites. And again, anybody who's actually like the link user who's at that site will get that policy. It's a lot simpler. So when you're enabling users, you don't have to go through a bunch of checkboxes saying, okay, let's voice policy, let's pick that one or do this. Just use the site one by default, and then you just leave everything else at automatic. Away you go. Go away. So you assign the most typical call classes to capture the most users. So if for the majority of your population, you say, we're going to allow national dialing. And then for just executives, we want to allow international dialing. Then we use the site-level policy that allows national dialing, and we assign that to, well, that gets automatically assigned to everybody. And for the executives and things like that, or the common area phones that require less calling rights, you create user-level policies. So these ones are assigned manually by the link control panel or PowerShell. And so you can, for smaller groups of people, you can either add more calling rights or subtract them. So for example, you could do an international policy for executives and things like that and assign a local policy to common area phones or students who are coming in for the day or something like that. So voice routes, again, to define the actual call paths that a call is going to take. So what it does this by going through your PSN usages, and it looks at the routes that are assigned to those PSN usages from top to bottom and says, is there a regex pattern that matches the number that I dial? If it does, then it's going to dial out the PSN gateway that's assigned to that route. So you want to make your voice routes as specific as you require for that specific call class. So if you're dialing, if you've got a route for local numbers, make sure that that route is only going to fire for local numbers. If you make it a little too wide-ranging, like for everything, then it's not a local policy anymore. So again, there's nothing here stopping you from doing that, but it's going to cause you pain down the road. So if it's called a local policy or a local route, make sure that it's only going to route local calls, right? And again, so avoid overlaps and might end up giving people more rights than they should. Yeah. All right, so create as many routes as you require call classes. So if you have a route, if you need routes for local because you have people who are going to be able to make just local calls and national, international, create those number of routes. So again, if you adhere to 164, if E164 format, it's going to make your job a lot easier because you've already normalized everything in E164 at the dial plan level, so you know what you're expecting. So you're able to say that, yes, I know that if a call comes in starting with a 1, I know that that is a national number for North America. I don't need to think, well, what if they didn't dial a 1? So, well, it doesn't matter because I already dealt with that at the normalization rule level. So this makes your life a lot easier. And don't fall into the trap thinking that you could assign gateways, PSTN gateways. So if you have a link deployment in, let's say, an example here, Dallas, Texas, and you have another one in Dayton, Ohio, don't make the mistake of saying, okay, well, all right, I want to do failover routing here. So I'm going to assign, for my national route, I'm going to put my Dallas gateway up top and then put my Dayton one below that. So what's going to happen here? Survey says, no, not going to work. What this does is just going to round robin calls through this. So that your Dallas people might all of a sudden find that their calls are routing, half the time they're routing out the Dayton gateway, which might not be so bad for national calls because it's probably going to be the same cost anyway. But what happens if you put in a gateway in here for London, England? Then all of a sudden half your calls are routing out through London and they're costing a heck of a lot more money. Plus they're going across the Atlantic and back. So there's going to be a lot of latency involved. So again, just like Richard Dawson, I love the sound effect. So don't do this. Only do this if you do have multiple gateways in the same site that you do want to load balance between, because it's just going to round robin between them unless one of them is down. So again, PST news usages, we talked before, these are the link between, not L-Y-N-C, but it's the L-I-N-K, that's the link between your voice policies and your routes. So you assign your routes to your PSTN usages from this side, and then you assign those PSTN usages to your voice policies, right? So again, usually you're gonna match up your PSTN usages with your routes. So you assign your routes to match that given location and call class. So you're gonna have a PSTN usage for Dallas, and it would be a local. So you have a Dallas local PSTN usage, and you assign all the routes for Dallas local, or all the local routes for the Dallas local PSTN usage to that, and then put that to the voice policy. Does that make sense? No. Whoops. So the call route that a call takes is defined by the order of PSTN usages in a voice policy. It's not explicitly defined anywhere. You're not going to see this in the interface saying, okay, this is what this is doing, but this is what's happening. Because what Link does is you're assigned a voice policy, right? So let's just say this is the site policy for international there. This is user policy for international. So what Link does is that when you make a phone call, it starts at the very top, the very first normal or the PSTN usage that sees, and it says, okay, I'm going to see, does this call match this route? And so it looks at the PSTN usage and then looks at the routes associated with that. If it finds a matching route for that, it routes out there. If it doesn't, it moves on down the chain and keeps going until it finds a matching route. And if that route is down, then it, of course it ignores that and moves on down the chain until it's able to find a matching route. So what this does is it gives us a lot of power in how we do things, especially when we're using like a complex type deployment. So you can do failover routing where you can automatically send calls through a secondary, tertiary, as many as you want. Like there's probably an argument he said, really, do you need to have like a tertiary, a third PSTN usage, a backup for local calls? But you never know, right? It allows you to do it because, again, that wide open playing field gives you that option. Okay? So all you have to do to make that happen is you just, again, you just put your main one. So if you're talking about your Dallas deployment, you put your local or your national PSTN usage for Dallas first, follow it up immediately below that with the one for your backup one in a different part of the country. So again, if the Dallas one is down, then it will automatically use the Los Angeles one for routes. So you get failover routing this way. So it's very, very simple to set this up. So again, it's possible route group them together to avoid long distance or toll charges, excessive toll charges. Like you don't want to make your backup route, unless it's your only option, the London one. Because again, if Dallas has to be down, then all of a sudden every single call is going to go through London. If you do have another option that's in the same country, obviously use that. So there's some examples of ordering for doing failover routing for deployment with sites, linked sites in Toronto, Calgary, and London. So again, so if Toronto's down, it's going to route Calgary, and then Calgary's down, then it's going to go out London Gateway. So again, ordering and selection is critical. And it goes to the route level after this. Your route creation is critical. That's why you want to make sure if this is labeled as a local route, make sure it's only going to do local routing. Because it's very simple to give, easy to accidentally give people more calling rights than you expect by incorrect creation of your routes and things like that. And it's also very easy to incur additional toll charges. Again, you accidentally put your London one above the Dallas one, and all of a sudden all your North America calls are going out as an international call via London. So least cost routing, you can also do this at the same time as you're doing failover routing. So again, it requires, you can't do least cost routing when you've got a simple routing type plan where you're just saying star dot star, because you can't say, when you're not breaking out your calls via local long distancing, things like that, you're just saying take all calls and shove them that way. You can't do least cost routing. So you can't say local calls for Dallas, go out this gateway, but if it's going to New York, go out that way gateway, or if it's going out London, go out that gateway, if you were just breaking everything down to just say everything. Because again, that first PSTN usage and route will always match unless it happens to be down. So you'll never get least cost routing out of there. So again, it's even more critical than failover routing. So here's an example with three sites again. We're using Vancouver, Toronto, and London. And this is the way I would order things to get least cost and failover routing all at the same time. So there's a couple of tips and tricks, a couple of things I like to follow to accomplish this, is you group your PSTN usages for local and national together at the top. Put them up top. right? Keep all the international ones down further down the chain. And then put all your put your out-of-country PSCNU, which is below your national ones for your in-country ones. So out-of-country, put them below all your in-country ones. And the reason for that is you want to put your more frequently called ones up top, because all this takes time to process, right? So every call that's made has got to start going through the chain and until it finds a matching route. So it makes sense that whenever possible, put the most frequently called things, which is typically going to be local, right? Local numbers typically, or national numbers from that same site, put them towards the top so that you can, so you're not doing unnecessary processing to get through to it. So in this case, we're dealing with our Vancouver site here. So we put Vancouver local at the very, very top. So that's the first one it hits, and for probably 60, 70% of your calls, depending on your users, will go out the Vancouver gateway. So it's going to hit that first hop, goes out, away you go. Toronto calls, doesn't match the Vancouver local routes, and it goes down, hits Toronto one, routes out Toronto. And then same goes for national and things like that. So if the national level, it's basically breaking out as a failover routing here, so it's going to go out Vancouver by default forever. Unless Vancouver is down, then it'll select Toronto. And then we get into all our international, like the UK ones. We can do least cost routing, so any call to the UK would use the UK deployment, and again, saves a lot of toll charges. And then clustered at the bottom, we do all our international ones. So anything that doesn't match any of those ones above will route out first via the Vancouver gateway, then Toronto if it's down, and then London if it's also down. Okay, make sense? Nod, smiles, yeah? Fantastic, beautiful. Trunk translation rules. All right, so we use these to format numbers as we require for the next hop. So again, those people who I see that they put in the zeros in their normalization rules, and they put zero, like if they start off with a zero for their routes, or 011 for international calls. You don't need to do that there, because even though that's what people will see, it's not the right way to do things. Because again, if you normalize North American international calls to 011, and you normalize it to that, and you have routes for that, but then you also try to route things out using that format out the London gateway because Toronto happens to be down, London's not going to know what to do with that because it doesn't know what to do with 011. It's not expecting 011. It's expecting 00 as the international prefix. So this is where you're going to put all the things that you need to send onto the next hop. So if you're sending things to a PBX, you need to put a 9 in front, put it here in the trunk translation rules. If you need to put any digits, like for an international call from North America, this is where you put the 011. And again, if you're following E164 formatting, this is very simple to do. Like, you're going to know that anything that's a national number is going to start with a 1. You can guarantee that because you've already done all the legwork prior to make sure everything's formatted to E164. Anything that doesn't start with a 1 is, by definition, going to be an international call, and then you can append a 011 in front of that. Right? So it makes your life a lot simpler because you've already got down the chain here. So yes, question.
What's the use for the external dialing option?
Yeah, that's what we talked about earlier. That's the external access prefix for the off-hook dialing. That gets stripped out. All that is gone. It's not used at all. Like, it's just used for making people happy, essentially, and for those off-hook dialing experiences that we talked about earlier. Like, all the grunt work happens behind the scenes. People don't even see it. So they don't have to dial a 9 or anything. They just dial a number like it is, and away it goes, right? Yes?
Would address book normalization rules supersede that?
Yeah, and that's why you wanted to make those E164 too. If you put a 9 in those as well, all hell's going to break loose, and it's not going to work right? So that's why everything needs to be E164, because then you start creating exceptions, and you have to go further down here. And then it comes back to going, okay, well, yeah, I can make it work this way, but then it comes back to those external people that you federate with, because Link is very, like, the best thing about Link is being able to federate. So if you're publishing your phone numbers to them and it's got a 9 in there, those people aren't going to be able to dial it. They're going to dial India, which we don't want to do. So here's some examples for trunk translation rule examples. See that wonderful one up top? So you need to, because this is the way things work in North America, right? So 416... A 416 number in Toronto may not be, or 905 number may be local or may be long distance. We don't know, right? So you need to actually go look up. There's a tables out there where it has every list of every local number. And then you got to go through that and manually create the regex to do that. You know, it's a little bit of work, right? It's not bad. Or you could use a tool to do this.
I'm sure there's a tool out there that might do this for you, right? So there's some examples of normal or trunk translation rules. And so it takes all those numbers that match that exact criteria. And so for anything that's international, any number that doesn't start with a 1, we put a 0, 1, 1 in front of it and then send it on its way. You strip the plus off it and send it on its way. Other examples, again, like you could just say every single phone number, put a 9 in front of it to send it to the PBX. Or you could also have a normalization rule that's going to strip down your extensions back down to 2, 3, 4, 5. So extensions. So reason to use extensions in Link. Well, Microsoft's examples that they use all throughout TechNet for almost 90% of everything they do involves companies that use DIDs for every single one of their users. There are not that many numbers in the world. Plus, they can get expensive. And some companies, or a lot of companies, like to just use extensions, right? So people might want to maintain this when they're moving over to Link. They still want to make, people are used to dialing 234 for Bob or 376 for Susie or whatever, right? So you want to maintain that for people. So there's reasons why you need to use extensions inside a Link. So again, use E164. Have you heard me say this before? E164. So format their phone number to E164 format. One with the ext equals at the end of it in their tel URI. Like in Active Directory, you don't need to use the ext equal. It's ugly looking. You can just put an X in there. As long as you have in that company normalizationrules.txt, as long as you have a something that captures that and makes sure it normalizes it properly. So again, resist urge just to send it as 2345, and I'll tell you a little bit why later. And you got to make sure that every single number is unique. So I always like to say is use your base number for that office. And then as the main part of the number, and then the ext part, the extension part, is their extension. But be careful. Don't, if you're going around, you're creating like an auto attendant because it's the main number, or you have a receptionist who picks up that main number coming in, things are not going to work very well because Link will see that number coming in and go, whoa, I got a whole bunch of people here with this phone number as a base. I don't know where to send it. And it throws up on you and says, gives you a 485 ambiguous error. If you look through the Link logs, you would see this. So you got to make sure that every single phone number in Link, including the incoming one that's coming to reception, goes to an extension. So here's an example of what we would do to numbers. And it seems like a lot of work. So I'm taking 2345. I create a normalization rule that puts it at the E164 format. That's exactly how we would do it, right there, with the 2 and the backslash D3. Yep. And then you assign a route to that. That sends it to the PBX gateway. For that number, you don't need to go right down to the extension level. You could just say, all right, I'm just going to create a route for just that main number, send it to the PBX. And then you add a trunk translation rule to strip it back down to the extension. And again, why? Why am I doing all this silly work? I'm just going to send 2345 at the end of it anyway. Well, why are you going through all these tasks? Because it is easier to deal with routing and trunk translation when you are following the same standard. And also, all right, today you're putting in Link as just a trial. Everybody's on the PBX. You put 2 or 3 people on Link or a dozen people on Link, and everything's going great. But then people start getting wind of how awesome Link is, because this is why we're all here, because we all love Link and think it's great. And then you start thinking, okay, well, I'm going to start migrating people to Link, but I want to maintain their same extensions. So if you have no, if you just normalize to 2345 for everybody's internal extension and pass that on through, and but you do decide to follow E164 formatting for the tel URI for that user when they get migrated, all of a sudden, well, I'm at 2345, but I'm not normalizing that number to E164. That call's never going to go to them. It's going to route to the PBX. PBX is going to say, this user doesn't exist anymore, and the call's going to fail. So you're going to have to think, oh, really? Okay, well, Bob just migrated over. I need to make a translation rule or a normalization rule that takes 2345 and normalizes it to E164. Okay, great, done. Then Susie comes along tomorrow, 2346. And then Bob, Cindy. Everybody else comes along, and the next thing you know, you've got just a massive number of normalization rules, and your life has become utter hell. So again, it's simpler if you just went right from the very beginning and think, what if one day we go to Link? How do I want to make my life simpler? So this is the reason why you want to do this. Okay? Question?
Why are you sending it back? Can you go to the previous slide, please? Why are you sending it back to the PBX 2345? Link should have picked up that to the local extension for the user, and it should have done a local lookup, and then...
Yep. That's what happens. So normalize the E164. It says, is there a user with blah, 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 extension 2345? No? Fine. I'm going to send it off to the PBX. Trunk translation rule says strip it back down to 2345. Okay? So that's what happens. It's always going to do a reverse number lookup first to see if the number matches in the Link. If it does, it's not going to go anywhere further. It's going to go on. Let's keep more questions till the end because I'm not going to have enough time if I keep answering questions. So incoming numbers, so here's a special case again. Incoming, a lot of your phone calls are coming into one number. You might have just one number coming in. You're going to have to make sure you normalize that number to extension, because otherwise you're going to get that that ambiguous error. So again, here's another special case, is if you've got a SIP trunk provider providing your telephony, oftentimes they may send a plus in front of the phone number that's already coming inbound. If they can't turn that off, it's going to be a problem for you, because Link sees every phone number that comes in with a plus already assigned. It assumes that it's already formatted E164 format. We don't need to do anything further to it, which is a problem, I think. I think they really should be able to say, yes, okay, you should be able to do more, have more control over it, but that's not currently the case. So if your SIP provider sends your main number in as E164 format and you need to append an extension to it to send it to a response group, you need to use a workaround. And there's a workaround that I created with the help of Michael Greenlee, who did a session on advanced scripting, because I'm not a programmer, a way that you can get around this so that the incoming number will get routed to a proper extension. Okay, special cases, inter-trunk routing. So this is something I see all the time in deployments, is when you're creating in your trunk configuration where you're doing all your calling number translation rules or your call number translation rules, there's a space in there that showed up in 2013 for inter-trunk routing. And it's not really described so much as that. It just says associated PSTN usages. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So what happens in here is you can use this to use Link as basically your core of your telephony system. So you can say, all right, I'm getting inbound phone calls for this range of extensions. Just pass it off to this PBX without doing much in Link or going out to another PBX. So it's a very powerful tool, but unless this is what you're specifically using it for, don't go into this. Don't put anything in there. Just leave it blank, because otherwise you might get into situations where things are going to start routing in ways that you're not expecting and get yourself in a bit of trouble. So unless you're specifically trying to set up inter-trunk routing using Link as your core system, just don't bother putting anything in there. So we did create a specific need for routing stuff to a Mitel phone system. So we have all our phone numbers coming in hitting Link, but we got a specific range that goes to Mitel for and legacy response or legacy call center stuff. So we just created a specific route and PSTN usage, assigned it to that, the way it goes. So a call comes in, matches that number, routes off to the Mitel. And here's another one. I'm just going to go through in one slide what Doug Lowdy's session took 20 or 30 slides. His was much, much more informative than mine. If you missed it, I definitely recommend downloading it later to check it out, because Doug Lowdy is the godfather of enterprise voice. He's fantastic at this stuff. He's much better than me. So what you can use location-based routing for is that you can route calls based on where the user is today, rather than what it is by default, which is based on what server the user is home to. So I'm in the Toronto office today. I can make sure that all my calls will route out the Toronto gateway rather than going across the WAN to wherever that Link server may be. So it's a very, very powerful tool. There's a summary of the steps. I'm not going to get into exactly what this is, but it's all PowerShell-based. There's nothing in the GUI for it. But again, it's a very, very powerful thing. Like, it was originally meant for dialing in countries like India, which requires you to say, okay, when people, you can't use least cost routing to route calls over your WAN to an external location. I guess they like to make sure they get all the money for international calls or something like that. I'm sure that's all the reason it is. But this is originally created to make sure that you are compliant to that sort of situation. But you can jiggle it a little bit to make it work for you so that you can say that every single call is going to route out the local gateway. And it follows the same sort of thing. So a voice routing policy works exactly the same way as just a regular voice policy. So you assign PSTN usages to it, and it routes via that. So again, location-based routing, it applies to all people enabled users at that site. So you want to make sure you assign the most permissive PSTN usages for that site. In the earlier session, I actually had this incorrect, and I didn't even notice. He was sitting back in the room, and he kind of piped up after me and said, that's actually wrong. I'm like, whoa, what? So I had to listen to him. So things, I assumed that it was a little bit more, a little less flexible like this, is that I thought that if you were in that site, that those policies would apply to you no matter what. So if you were assigned a voice policy that was only let you do local dialing, and your voice routing policy, your location-based routing policy allowed international dialing, it would let you do international calls. But it's not the case. call authorization is still controlled by the assigned user's policy, so which is great. And again, Voice 303, you have to go back in time now or download it later today or tomorrow, and you can get some information on this. So if you don't have time for all this, what are you going to do? There's a lot of work in there, right? Like, this is fantastic and all this sort of stuff, but, well, let's cue the trumpets and this and the angels and all that sort of stuff. And this is a tool that I created. Now, I got to preface this. This is something that I personally created. This has nothing to do with Buchanan Technologies. Our lawyers were told me to say this. But this is a tool that I created in my spare time. I actually started off in 2007 as a VB script that I ran locally. If anybody knows Clive Graven, he's a Microsoft guy out of Calgary. We got into big arguments back in the day because before this script existed, we could only normalize our numbers to just 905. We didn't put the one in front of it because we didn't have any way of determining with any sort of accuracy whether a phone call going out was supposed to have a one in it or supposed to strip the one. So we just left it to the user as you would with a normal phone system. And we weren't following E164 best practices. So we even put in Active Directory, put our users' phone numbers as just 905 because, again, we wanted other people on the site to be able to reach those numbers without it not working. But, of course, it broke because we were fed away with Microsoft. And whenever they tried to dial our numbers, they were dialing 90, which is, God, I used to know these things. Somewhere else in the world, it doesn't work, right? So we got into this big argument. Well, how am I supposed to do this? The list of local numbers for Toronto is 700 digits long. Am I supposed to type this all in? This is insane. So he went, and he did some thinking, and he came up with an Excel spreadsheet. It was very manual, a very manual process that got to some level of optimized regex that we were able to punch in there. It was a very, very long process, very manual and very prone to error, but it worked. And it got me to thinking, there must be a better way to do this. I'm going to try my hand at programming. Let's see how well this works. And the only thing I knew at the time was VB script. Still is one of the only things I know right this time, because I'm not a programmer, but created a very small version of this and then kind of held it close to my chest because I realized this is pretty cool. Let it know other people in Microsoft started emailing me saying, hey, can you do me a dial rule for me for this? So I would run it, email them the results, and everything was happy. And then I figured out, hey, apparently you can turn VB script into ASP script very simply. So then I figured out how to do a web page. And so this is where it all came from. And it's expanded from there. And it went from just having local dialing rules for just North America to dialing rules for now 67 countries. Customized, localized dialing rules for everywhere in North America. So again, you don't need to worry about, you just punch in your phone number for your specific site, and it's going to spit out the exact proper regex for that location. You can punch into link. You can do simple or complex dialing rule examples like I've shown here. You can roll your own naming conventions. So if you don't like the one that Link spits out or the optimizer spits out for you, you can roll your own. It'll do location-based routing for you. So if it detects you've already defined Link sites, that you would notice if you went to Doug's session, it'll detect that and ask you, hey, do you want to do location-based routing? Sure, why not? And it'll also automatically do least cost failover routing for you. So it basically encompasses this entire presentation. So what I could have done, and I wish I did, I could have just put the Link optimizer on a loop and then curled up under here and died. Would have been awesome. But we went through this anyway. We can do blocking of premium numbers. We can do all kinds of, we can deal with extensions and then call park and all kinds of crazy stuff. So how many people have used the dialing room optimizer before? Cool. How many people have never even heard of it before? Okay, cool. Now you have heard of it. Okay, fantastic. So let's go. Let's try this all out. All right. So we are on the internet. Let's make sure we are still on the internet. So this is the linkoptimizer.com website. So anybody who's now doing the drinking game about the Link Optimizer, now's the time to start chugging it back. Come on. There we go. All right, so here it is. So all you got to do is it's pretty straightforward. You just select the country. So I've got dialing rules for all these different countries. I'm adding more all the time. So people will just email me and say, hey, can you do dialing rules for so and so, such and such a country? And I say, yeah, well, sure. Yeah, why not? Because originally it was created before Link 2010, before PowerShell existed in Link, and it was made for OCS. So it was originally designed to work in audio codes and Dialogic gateways. So I still have that legacy stuff in there. I still see people from time to time using that, but It's mostly just the link stuff. And then you enter, for North America, you just dial in your area code. So we're going to do Toronto, 416, let's say 223. All right? And then it automatically shows you this is what the format of the rule is going to look like. If you don't like that, and I don't. So the people that have used the link optimizer, how many people like the format where it includes the six digits in there as part of the rule? Some people do like it. How many people don't like it? Okay, so I've taken a poll, very formal poll, and did the same thing on Tuesday, and I'm going to strip those out. Because now I never used to have the ability for people to roll their own dialing rules. So now with that, so I can give those few people who do like to put the numbers in, we can still let them create those custom rules. So, but I typically like to just say, I want to just say ON-Toronto for the dialing rule. And here's where you can put your external access prefix, like we're going to use 9. We can use extensions. We're not going to worry about that right now. And you can do all these different things. Like SIP trunk connection, what that does, it just basically says, because SIP trunks typically will accept E164 format, so this one just says, I'm not going to create any trunk translation rules. It'll just send out E164 to the SIP trunk. And you can block premium numbers for everybody, and so you can use what's the unassigned number range within Link to basically spit out a message saying, you're not allowed to make this phone call, and then you can get real fun and actually send it to somebody, and like HR or something like that, saying, what are you doing trying to dial 900 numbers? Get really embarrassing real fast. And you can do other neat things like call park, and you can allow caller ID block and stuff like that. And they can even, because things are changing all the time. Like once you put these rules into Link, like for your local dialing rules, you're going to see like it's just a huge mass of regex. And these regex is changing all the time. Like they're always adding new numbers to the pool. So if you sign up for updates, every time there is an update, you'll get a PowerShell script with just the updates for those dialing rules, and away you go. So all you got to do, you just do that. You hit generate rules. You hold your breath and hope the demo gods are shining on you. And they are not. Yes, it is. Perfect. Beautiful. So there we go. We got dialing rules for Link. And all you got to do is you can go to this little thing, which takes you to my website, which gives you a very, very long-winded explanation of exactly how to do things, because this is assuming this isn't something you're just going to take. I've just installed Link. I've never done anything with it. And just go. It's expecting you've already configured your PSTN gateways. You've already got that set up, because I don't know how you're going to do that. So I expect that those already exist. But then everything else can be blank. Just create those PSTN gateways and trunks in Active Direct or in the topology builder and take it from there. And you just open this puppy up. And you're going to see a ridiculous amount of regex or a ridiculous amount of PowerShell while we wait for it to open. Can't be verified, too cheap for a certificate, so nope, can't be verified. And here's the resulting PowerShell. It's insane. A lot of work in here, a lot of different stuff in here. So rather than going through it, figured we just run it. So I've already preloaded some of these in here. Here's our existing, this is a clean deployment. We got the default voice policies and everything that already exists when you have a brand new deployment. So what we're going to do is we're going to run the optimizer for Toronto. And it's going to ask you, it's going to detect all the Link sites you've already got deployed. So we've got two of them in here. And so what site ID are we going to apply these rules for Toronto? And then it's going to see, okay, so let me break down what this hypothetical Link site is. We got a central Link deployment in Toronto with a PSTN access point out in Vancouver and one in Toronto. And we also have a Link location in Europe. So it's a international company with very small presence. So we have two gateways that are assigned to this site. So we're going to say, obviously, well, I want to assign this to the Toronto gateway. It only makes sense. And away it goes. Goes through this whole chain, creates all the voice policies, the dialing rules, trunk translation rules, and everything. And even if it notices that you've created Link sites and subnets, that says, okay, here's all the subnets that are defined for my Toronto site, it's going to ask you, okay, I see that you've done this. Do you want to apply location-based routing? Do you want to go down this little rabbit hole? Well, if you're not sure what you're doing, I would try to make sure of this, because once it's in there, it's in there, and you might not, and if you don't know where to look for it, you're going to be like scratching your head when calls aren't working, like when a Vancouver user comes over and things aren't working the way you expect. It's best to just say no sometimes. Just like your mom always said, just say no. I'm going to say yes. And then I'm going to say the Toronto site. And this is coming out, by the way, because, again, due to my erroneous understanding of how this worked, I can now just say we're just going to apply the default voice or PSTN usages for that site to Toronto here. So rather than breaking it down to local and all that stuff. And then it does it. It's all done. So now we go into, we go back into our voice, our dial plans, everything like that. We see we now have a site level voice policy or a dial plan for Toronto. We have voice policies. We create a site level voice policy for that you assign to, again, everybody by default. But then if you've got certain people you want to assign international calling to, you do it through here. Right? So you get, you assign them this policy. Then here's that, here's the routing. This is how it all works, right? So it puts local up first, then national. Premium numbers. So in this case, like we've actually broken out premium numbers. So if you don't want people to make premium number phone calls, all you got to do is just remove it. Then it's done. Simple. One place. But if you do want to allow them to make premium phone numbers, just leave that back in there. All right? So then we come back to it again, and we do the same thing once more for Vancouver. So you see it automatically updates it. Like you have to take the real name base. But I'm going to, again, I'm going to change this to just BC, Vancouver. And we'll leave that same external access prefix in there. I didn't show that. And then we fire it off again. And this is interesting. I see a lot of people, they actually try to say, okay, I want my custom rule to be like this, and a dash. But then if you notice, oh, you know what? Actually, it doesn't update. Oh, that's why people don't. Oh, I get it. See, it does what it does here is that it actually, the rule is actually going to be NA-NA, BC Vancouver. So I now throw up a warning that tells you that. But we're just going to do it as BC Vancouver. And fire it off. Okay, we're running out of time, so I'm going to just kind of skip forward a little bit here and just going to run the same thing for Vancouver. And so one for that site, two is the Vancouver Gateway. And then ask you, it says, okay, I've seen you've already run this before. Do you want to do least cost routing for this site? And we're going to say, yeah, sure. So this is going to set up automatically the least cost routing for you. We're going to say no to that, finished, and we're going to do the same thing for London. And go to 2 for London, least cost routing, yes. Now, and we're finished. Okay, and then what you do have to do again is that because the first site you created, the Toronto one, didn't have anything, any sites or anything else to compare it to. You notice it didn't ask me if I want to do least cost routing. Well, you have to go back to the Toronto one and do this, just run it again. Do it for one, for the one gateway, and then say, yes, I want to do least cost routing because it only does what it knows that it already exists, right? So then fires it through, and we're not going to bother again. And then we go back and we take a look at things. So we look at our voice policy for, again, let's look at the Toronto one now. So the Toronto International Voice Policy. Sounded like I wanted to say International Film Festival there for a second. So you'll see that we got all the PS10 usages ordered for least cost and failover routing. So it uses Toronto for local, then Vancouver. Oh, you know. And then national, just like we discussed before, it all gets done for you automatically. You see down here, you'll see all the local ones for UK. We dig through to the trunk configuration, specifically for Toronto. We see that, was it Toronto we did the nines? Oh, yeah, I didn't do it the second time. Or was it somewhere else? I didn't do that. Yeah, so here, if I did this quite properly, which I forgot to do, but it would have put the 9 in there for all your numbers that were getting sent out. Okay, so that's the Linked Dialing Role Optimizer. It gets very powerful. It gets you 90% of the way there. There's always going to be edge cases that it's not going to deal with, but it'll get you most of the way there and save you a ton of work. So if you've never used it before, try it. You might like it. So takeaways from this session. What do I want you guys to take away here? Guess what? Yeah, you think? Yeah? So E164, all the way, man. That's where you got to start, you know? Make sure everything's E164. It's going to make your life a lot simpler. So you got to make sure you understand the interplay of all these elements before you go to it. Like if you're doing this or if you're doing it all by yourself, make sure you understand everything. Read TechNet. Read blogs. There's lots of blogs out there. I humbly want to submit mine as one of those for learning enterprise voice type stuff. Or if you don't have time for any of this, you can just use the Linked Dialing Role Optimizer. So again, thank you very, very much. Is there any questions? I do want to say one thing. Please do the evaluations. I know they've been haven't been a lot of people who've been doing evaluations. The thing is, we use these, or Microsoft uses these, to determine the popularity of them or how good they are and whether I'm going to be invited back. So I would love to be invited back if you guys think I did a good job. And then, so let's do this. Thank you. And there's a picture of a guy that's not the Hoff in there. They wouldn't let me use my Hoff picture for this, which just really upset me. So again, fill out these evaluations. You can win prizes, but again, it just helps. So give me feedback. I thrive on feedback, positive and negative. So any questions? Yes. Go up to the mic, because I think they're micing all this. We can record this. But thanks for coming, guys. Enjoy the last day in Vegas.
You say normalize everything to E164.
Correct. Yeah, I didn't mention this then, but yeah, I don't normalize those to E164 because those aren't typically dialable outside of your own country. Like, no one's going to be dialing 44999 from like North America for emergency, right? So I always just leave those as whatever they are. So for 999 for Europe or 911, 411 and all that sort of stuff, I just leave them as is. You don't have to. I guess if you want to be absolutely positively correct, you probably shouldn't, because plus is supposed to mean E164, but I usually do. And then you just strip the plus just like along with everything else on the way out.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions? Well, you can. I actually just recently put it, because I was running out of time, so I didn't want to talk about this, but there is a feature in the optimizer, and I took it out of the slides as well, where you can allow people to dial, because LinkedIn itself doesn't actually allow for this, but you can kind of fake it out. You can create a normalization rule that will normalize to, if someone puts the star 67 in there, and you create a special route for that, and in that route, you define an alternate a caller ID, and then so anytime anybody dials star 67 and then that number, it'll use that alternate caller ID on the way out. So there's a checkbox in the optimizer, so if anybody's interested in what that does, try it out, or you can go to my blog and I describe how it all works there. Any other questions? Yeah? I took it out, actually, 976, because I think 976 doesn't generally exist anymore. It still does? Okay, it doesn't exist in Canada, because I did have it in there at one point, but then I took it out again. So there's another option. You can either block numbers individually, like just by using voice poll or using the PSTN usages, or you can use this unassigned number range where you can say block all 900 numbers for everybody, doesn't matter who you are, nobody can ever dial it, and give them that nice, wonderful message. But yeah, 976 isn't in there right now, but I could put it in. Yes? So what I use for my resources is I use the ITU website, which gives you a good amount of information about dialing plans and stuff like that. I've gotten pretty good at parsing through all these things and figuring out how it works. And also Wikipedia. Sometimes for a lot of countries has excellent information on, it may be a little out of date, but I usually default to the ITU website because they have documents on there that describes all the dialing plans in most cases. So yeah, so Mexico is one that's always been asked for, and I haven't figured out a way to do it yet. I just figured out New Zealand, so anybody hears from New Zealand, because New Zealand's dialing rules are almost as messed up as North America, because most places in the world, dialing rules are relatively easy, right? Like if it starts with a 2, 3, 4, it's going to be a landline. If it starts with a 7, it's a mobile phone. North America, it's nothing like that, right? You have no idea if it's, in any case, if it's local or long distance, which is why it exists. Yes? They're going to see, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're going to see 234, but when they click it, it should dial the full number. Yeah. 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 Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that's the way it works. Anybody can confirm or deny that? Yeah. Displays? Yeah. But what actually is dialed is an E164 number. Perfect. Yep. Yes.
Can you change optimizer that the optimizer understands when you you have many PDFs and gateways.
Yeah, it works for that, yeah.
Today
thank you, guys. Thanks, guys. Yeah, if anybody else has any questions.